Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Anyone elected mayor of Canada's largest city inevitably faces an astonishing to-do list. That was perhaps doubly true for the city's 66th mayor, Olivia Chow. Taking over in a by-election last summer, in the midst of an affordability and housing crisis, and on the heels of a pandemic, she was elected on the promise to do things differently, including raising taxes. And since she was sworn in, it's been nonstop, featuring some surprising cross-partisan wins. Here for more, Her Worship, the mayor of Ontario's capital city. Welcome, Olivia Chow. You and I were just chatting before we started this and realized that we have known each other for almost 40 years because I remember first covering you on school board. And now here you are in our studio for your first interview as mayor. So thank you and welcome.
And we're both young at heart.
Well, you are anyway. I think I suspect I'm an old fogey. But anyway, away we go. Today's your 240th day in office. Let me just ask a very neutral question to get us started. How's the ride been so far?
It's been excellent. It's exciting. It's joyous. Last night, I had the good fortune to meet with the staff. There were like 250 of them, women staff of the City of Toronto. Earlier in the day, I met with all the senior staff and hearing about how positive they're feeling because they are saying that we no longer have to worry about all the cutbacks we were under for 10 years. Trimming, yes, but not the entire department. We are now looking at delivering their service better.
Okay, let's follow up on that.
So it's growing, it's giving them the confidence to say the public wants you to do better.
So what's better right now that wasn't the way it was 240 days ago?
Well, TTC, no fare increase, but the service have increased. Okay, you look at the traffic over at King Street, it was completely blocked. The King Street car traveling from Bathurst to Jarvis takes almost an hour. Sometimes some journalists said that a turtle might be faster than that. And now we've cut that by dramatically by a third, so it's three times faster now, the King Street car. So the traffic flow on King Street, for example, because of the traffic agent we hired recently, are doing their magic. So congestion, we still have a big problem because of all the construction of Ontario Line and all of that. Because we're a growing city, we have to do that. So, but in terms of housing, housing starts. Remember, there were a long period that there was no shuffle going into the ground. And during the campaign, every candidate was saying, where is this Housing Now program? You're seeing housing start now. You're seeing massive investment to building housing. It's faster. We're doing more of it. And a good percentage of them are affordable. Those things, we are really progressing.
You see improvements.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can walk 100 yards to the corner at Yonge and Eglinton here and see that bloody Eglinton Crosstown LRT over budget, past schedule, with no apparent plan to finish it still. What do we do about that? I know that's not really your responsibility, it's Metrolinx's, but still, it's right in the middle of the capital city and it looks like nothing's happening. When's it going to be done?
Steve, I need you to ask that question to the premier. You're right, Metrolink. We have absolutely no control over Metrolink. And I'm just as frustrated as you are because they are many years behind, over budget, over time. But the city, we have no control over it. Metrolink is 100% provincial.
Can't you go up there and knock some heads together or something? Would that do any good?
I can't knock any heads because we're not responsible for hiring anybody in Metrolink. We want Metrolink to look at how they are constructing the Ontario line. Why are they closing the streets for that long? Can they open some of it? And can they speed up the building of that subway? Because what's frustrating that I'm hearing from people in the financial district, for example, is congestion, right? They're looking at, wait a second, they just close off Queen Street. Hang on, there's no activities. Can we not have more shift? Can we look at opening streets that don't need to be closed for the time being, close them when we need to?
And what's the answer to that? Can it be done?
I don't know. I'm not getting clear answer. Now, the City of Toronto have set up a Metrolink and Public Transit TTC Congestion Committee. We're trying to influence them. If you have some say, help me out, Steve.
I don't think I have any say at all, I'm afraid.
Well, neither do I, yeah, unfortunately. Okay. But, you know, let's put a bet on it. I think they can open it before the end of this year.
Before the end of this calendar year?
I hope.
All right, from your lips to God's ears.
We put aside money. The minute they're ready to open it, we have the funds to operate it.
Okay.
Because TDC is going to operate it. But we're very thankful for the Premier, by the way, because they're building the subways, the LRTs, and all of that. It's so much needed. We're very glad that's happening.
You were on this program back in 2016, and we discussed at that time some very disturbing comments that you were getting on social media. This was when you ran for mayor the first time in 2014. And I asked you why you wanted to know what the public was saying about you. I know there's a lot of politicians who just simply block or mute or do whatever, but you actually wanted to know what people were saying out there, and here is what you had to say. Sheldon, if you would.
It's good to know who is your enemy and why, and understand the pain they are feeling. I think often when people lash out, I think it's important that we listen and then find out why they're doing it, what's causing it, what's the intention. Then the next part is, you know, if there is any hope of connecting, you don't necessarily condemn it. Sometimes you do. It depends whether that person has a lot of power or not. Yeah. If that person has a lot of power, then yes, you need to come, you know, at it. But if it is your ordinary people, then you need to think about why are they doing all that? What is deep
maybe because they're
them?
Racist pigs?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that and possible?
Sexist
pigs?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I mean, you're the mayor now. Has anything changed about what you now see compared to back then?
My approach is the same. Yes, there are people that are full of anger. They feel alienated. They don't feel that the government is doing anything for them. They don't know why there should be a government. What we've done is open up City Hall. During the budget process, for example, we said, instead of us saying what we want to provide for you, why don't you come and tell us what you want? So they talked about public transit, building housing, safety, parks and recreation programs, libraries. Libraries are a sleeper on this one. People are saying, we want more library hours. I thought, wow. So we, through that whole process, listened to over 50,000 Torontonians, some online, others on telephone town halls. We have 3 nights of telephone town halls.
How many racist and sexist
ones? Face-to-face. Pardon?
How many racist and sexist interactions did you have?
Not much because they were screeners.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because those are public meetings, right? I still get occasional emails and my public social media account, there are those. But by hearing them, by opening up City Hall for them, we have people that like to come to City Hall and yell. And I chair the...
Some of them are on council.
Yes, that's true. And they are full of fairy sound, not fairy. But if I have some control over it, I give them the 5 minutes to hear them out.
Okay, you mentioned safety in that answer there, and I want to pick up on that. Because as you were going through the budget process, you sort of famously had a bit of a standoff with the police who wanted more money, and you were saying no. But then in the end, you acquiesced. How come?
Well, because the money they want, if I don't get extra money, would have to come from housing dollars, public transit dollars, social services, libraries, childcare services, seniors, homes, all of these things that we operate. I don't want to go and cut something in order to give the police more, right? Because the police already is the top spender of our tax dollars.
More than $1 billion every year.
Oh, 1.2, 1.3 billion, right? So this year they're getting at least 60, 70, oh, pardon me, $80 million more, right?
So why didn't you stare them down for that 80 million?
Because I got extra dollars. I don't know if you remember, about a week and a half before actual council day, the federal government had this summit in Ottawa. And just before the summit, it was about auto theft.
Oh, yes.
People are getting their car stolen, right? Mm. Whether through home invasion or just someone just parking beside you and grab your keys and all that. And there's some violence and all that. So the federal government said, we're going to contribute money to help solve it. I thought, aha.
There's
federal, provincial. That's right.
Okay.
So I found the money.
Now, tell me this. You famously also had a 9.5% tax increase this year on property taxpayers in the capital city, which is an historically high figure, you would acknowledge. And you explained that you needed more revenues to deal with the services that people want improved or new. My question is, should we anticipate going forward for the remainder of your term similarly high increases in the future?
I don't know yet. I'll tell you why. It is 8%, is about 80 cents more per day for average homeowner. So, yes, it is hefty percentage. 1.5% of it is really was established by former Mayor Rob Ford to build that Scarborough Subway, still building that Scarborough Subway. Mm. So the 1.5% was from Ford to Tory to now Chow. That's the standard thing for building transit housing, okay? And the rest was the 8%, right? The 8% is what we contribute. I have to do it because I inherited a huge budget deficit. Budget hole, they call it, $1.8 billion. Thank God the provincial government said, we'll give you a deal, a new deal. They uploaded the Gardner and the DVP. Wow, that gives us more fiscal room. They said, you need TTC funds. I said, yes, I need it now. Not just capital, but operating dollars, because you need drivers to drive. We need to fix the subway system, right? So and housing and shelters. So the provincial government came in. The federal government also gave us $500 million on building housing. So I took all of that to deal with our deficit, but also deal with our top priorities of building housing and having better public transit. By the end of it, we still need that money, which is where the 8% increase, we still needed the money to continue to pay for the librarians, the recreation programs.
So it's possible the city may go through that again next year.
What I'm going through next year, this year actually, is the same process. Opening up City Hall so people are going to come in and say, we want more service on this, that. In fact, tonight I am speaking to the Toronto Housing Tenants, TCH. Toronto Housing folks, because of where they live sometimes, or language, sometimes they're not participating. Their voices are not heard. So tonight, especially for them to tell me and to each other what kind of service they valued most and how they want to improve the service. And then we'll expand on it. We'll continue that process. Find out what Torontonians want, see if we could get federal and provincial help, then we'll put the budget together. It is people's first. In the past 10 years, there's always, we'll come up with a figure. Mm. You know, that figure first. That's not what people want. People want people first, their service first. And then the percentage will then get worked out.
Do you find that a great percentage of your job is just begging other people for money?
Not completely.
But a lot. But
a good percentage is begging, but also celebrating what we do in the city. We actually have one of the best library service in the world, second best after Hong Kong. And in terms of per capita number of people, whether they use it online through Libby or Canopy or actually go into a library.
That Libby thing's not a bad app. Yeah, I get a lot there.
I use it every day, actually.
Okay, let me ask you about the refugee crisis, and I know you brought some information along. The feds have come up with $162 million for new funding to cover your cost of housing people who are seeking asylum. How far is that going to go? And maybe you could show the chart here to show what you're dealing with.
What this is, here, let me see if I could make sure people can see it well, is this chart. This is the homeless. You see it's dropping, it's steady. We're keeping this under control. We're keeping it under control, right? We're building more housing to house them. But if you look at the show, this is refugees. The green one is refugees. It just keeps shooting up. And it's just growing and growing and growing. Now, there's almost 6,000 refugees in our shelter. Every night, 11,000 people.
And you have to pay for it.
We have to pay for it.
So you want more money out of the... You got some money out of the
feds. I got some money out of it, which is we're very, very grateful. They paid in full of what we spent last year. They had a down payment for this coming year. Again, very grateful. And it's not just this municipality. You hear the Quebec Premier talking about it. You hear the Mayor of Brampton, Patrick Brown, talking about it. You're hearing all through Ontario, especially in GTA. So we need to have a comprehensive settlement service because some of these refugees have a lot of skills. They can help us build housing. Some of them are engineers. They are from all sectors and all walks of life. And we need to integrate them into our city as quickly as possible. They want to work. They have skills they could offer. And we just need to shelter them and support them for a small period of time, get them on their feet. And do know that Toronto, remember the turn of century, the Irish refugees, because we're about to celebrate St. Patrick's Day soon. Mm-hmm. The Irish refugees at the time, the city of York, which is Toronto before, we had 30,000 people. You know how many of them came from Ireland? 50,000. More than the number of people that were in York. Hmm. They helped build the city, right?
So and we've been here before.
We've done it before. The Southeast Asian refugees, remember the boat people?
Sure, late 70s.
Absolutely, 79. We had, at the end in Canada, we opened the doors to 220,000 Southeast Asian refugees. They settled well.
Yeah.
They are now very much part of our society.
As long as we're talking about this, let me do a little tangent here, which is to say, you know, most mayors who get elected obviously have agendas on transit, on housing, on taxes, on a whole bunch of other stuff. They don't expect necessarily to have to deal with foreign affairs. You are quickly learning that you are needing to be very much involved in this, particularly since last October 7th and the Hamas attack on Israel. My question is, what does the mayor of Toronto see as her responsibility when there are protests around this city on a regular basis, some of which have gotten out of control, some of which have resulted in vandalism, many of which have resulted in people feeling unsafe? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. Steve, our motto is diversity, our strength. That is what Toronto is.
That's the motto of the city.
Absolutely. And we pride ourselves of this city, of living harmoniously together.
It's not happening right now.
By and large, it is. With some notable bad actors, okay?
Who are the bad actors right now?
So the bad actors are the racist and or the folks that are hateful, anti-Semitic, And whether they're firebombing or vandalism on a store or a school, having to evacuate and Jewish school, or people putting graffiti in mosque. So we see a rise of hate crime. Now, we have laws against hate. We have law against criminal behavior.
But what do you see as your unique responsibilities in all this?
My responsibility is to hold space to say that we hear and see each other. We feel each other pain. We need to not target people of who they are and what religion they believe in, but be empathetic and be hopeful and come together and support each other. Now,
protest,
that's
easy to say. For sure.
But you know what, though? It's those high-profile incidents that get the media. But the small act of kindness that don't get seen. I went to a hominy dinner, a concert at a synagogue. And I thought, wow, how beautiful was that? Right, where people of faith come together. And there was a concert also at another, where, again, all faith were coming together and sharing through music and art. So those are not what catches people's attention, but it is happening in our city. And we need to celebrate more of that. And those that are causing pain because people are hateful, we say no together, no matter who we are, what faith we have. In all walks of life, we say, no, this is not who we are. Torontonians, we are more empathetic and a lot more connected to each other than what appeared in the news.
Okay, let's finish up on this, because one of the really interesting things about your time as mayor so far is that you are a former New Democrat member of parliament. The current premier is a progressive conservative. The current prime minister is a liberal. And yet you seem to have pretty good relationships with both of those guys, despite your former partisan stripe differences. What is the secret to working well with people when you have, in some cases, significant ideological differences with them?
Well, first thing, put away those ideological stripes.
You think you've had to do that?
But it's being empathetic. It's about finding common ground. There will always be things we don't agree with, but let's not dwell on those. Let's look at what we want to do together. They all want to build housing faster. All right, let's look at how we're going to do that, right? They want to have better transit. Okay, let's do that together. And the approaches might be different, but if the goal is the same, let's find a way to work together, which is wonderful. Once you find that common ground, it doesn't matter because they love this city.
Doug Ford said the day before you got elected, you and I have talked about this before, it would be an unmitigated disaster if you won. Right? That's what he said.
Unmitigated, yes.
Unmitigated.
Not just a disaster.
An unmitigated disaster.
Yes.
And yet here you are, and you two seem to be getting on just fine.
Very well.
So what happened?
Well, we cut through all that noise, right? Election is election, right? What people say and what people do sometimes is different, right? Mm. People say things during election, right? I don't take it personally. I know Premier Ford loved the city. He lives in Etobicoke. Mm. Right? His parents lived in Etobicoke and loved the city and have contributed. So, okay, what is it that you would like to do, Premier? Well, okay, safe housing, all right, public transit, all right, let's do it. So we looked at how we're going to work together. He said, Mayor, I said, well, you know, upload those gardeners. Does it really make sense? If you come across Mississauga, you come to Toronto, it's the same gardener. Why is it that you're not dealing with it? Why is it that I am fixing it? Well,
he saw the logic.
was...
And he uploaded the road.
He uploaded the road. I said, okay, what do you need us to do, Mayor, Premier? He said, well, okay, Mayor, I need you to... yes, okay, all right. Mm. Some I can do, some I cannot do. All right, let's work together.
Bet you didn't see that coming.
No, we... You know, this thing about, yes, you and I have both been in the political realm for many years. If we're not hopeful kind of people, optimistic, we're in the wrong business. You have always have to be hopeful to say that once you connect, once you're empathetic and understand each other's needs, we can then move forward and put away all the differences. That's how politics happens. That's how magic can happen. And, you know, it's the art of what's possible. And stay hopeful. And the other thing is this, another one of my core belief through all the years, we are stronger together. And sure we are. If we're spending all our energy fighting and, you know, hit verbally, what good is it? We are stronger together. Whether we are at council, we are citizens together, both sides against each other because of ideology, religion. Put that aside. Let's work together because we are stronger. And by gosh, this city need all of us, all hands on deck. And that's what's happening.
That is the 66th mayor of the city of Toronto, Olivia Chow. Your Worship, it's really good of you to spend so much time with us at TVO tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.